Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Mark Berry coming at you from beautiful Southern Oregon. We recorded Josh Hayes about a year ago, right here on the red couch. Just seemed like a good opportunity to pick his brain while he was here with his crew from AZ. Probably my favorite thing about him is Arizona's had so much growth in the last few years. He's been a big part of that. But he's always looking to improve. And how can we do things better? How can we be innovative? How can we grow? And it's pretty admirable when you see somebody operating at a high level that is humble and wants to do better. So hope you enjoy this and hope you get something golden out of the Josh Hayes podcast.
What's going on, guys? We're on the red couch doing something a little special for this podcast. We're actually interviewing my good friend. I've known him for a long time. It's Mr. Josh Hayes. Josh, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for the invite. I'm super humbled and honored to be with you guys today.
You don't have to take it that far. Come on now. Like, listen. Why don't you just tell me where you're from exactly here?
Work at Dutch Bros, Arizona with Jim Thompson. Mm-hmm. And we brought our crew out this week to learn some more ways to aggressively serve our crew in a better fashion for our headquarters.
Yeah. So, how many people came out here to HQ with you?
There's 8 of us here total today.
Cool. Awesome. And you guys are going to be here for kind of an extended weekend, really, I guess, for like 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, we got in yesterday, and we're leaving Friday morning.
Awesome. Tell me your story, because I think your story is very radical, and it's cool to see. I've gotten to watch it. How long have you been working at Dutch Bros now?
Just over 8 years.
Over 8 years?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 31. I'll be 32 in April.
Why don't you talk to me about your origins here at Dutch Bros Coffee?
I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years, and I went to Iraq in 2007.
Yeah.
And to Ramadi, which is one of the more dangerous spots. And I signed up because of 9/11. I remember being a junior in high school and watching everything unfold and going, okay, like, we need to run toward that battle. And
yeah,
it was just something I envisioned doing. And
yeah,
it was a last minute decision.
Really?
To go to the Marines. I was working at Trader Joe's in Newport Beach, California at the time, and sleeping on different couches. I wrestled in college for a year, and I dropped out of college because I just wasn't liking it. I wasn't mm-hmm. digging school. And then my grandpa had moved to Bakersfield because he got married, and I really didn't have anything going on. And so my friend Kyle, who lived in Temecula, California, mm-hmm. was like, dude, I'm going to the recruiter office, check it out. And the staff sergeant that was recruiting was like, I bet you can't do 10 pull-ups. And I did 11 just to mess with
him. Yeah, like, bring it.
He's like, I do 20. And then I did 20 pull-ups. And he's like, jeez, I don't know why you haven't signed up yet. You know, kind of thing. It was just a weird coincidence. And so I literally signed the papers that day.
Yeah.
And then I called my family. He's like, hey, I joined the Marines. And then I left like 3 months later.
Wow. And you were over there for 4 years.
Yeah. So I did a tour for a four-year tour, which is pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in to do data communications. Never did my job, which was cool. Like, I was supposed to do like network routing and all the stuff that your IT department here does.
Yeah.
Like those guys do.
Yeah.
And I did it a little bit in Iraq just because they knew I could do it. But I was more of a combat guy because that's what was needed. I was with an artillery battery. And then I was attached to the G unit. You work directly for the general in Japan. So it's the division office. And then I went to South Carolina to finish my tour working with the Air Wing, which is, there's another boot camp on that side of town. There's San Diego and that side of the U.S. and South Carolina has the other boot camp. And then I got out because my mom had cancer. So I was going to re-sign my contract and go another 4 years. But my mom had a scare with ovarian cancer.
Yeah.
And had a big surgery the Christmas after I got hired at Dutch Bros. And only got hired at Dutch Bros because I responded to a Craigslist ad.
And your mom's doing well.
So that's the cool thing, is the surgery was super successful.
Yeah.
And she's great. She has no signs of any cancer at all. And she's had cancer twice. She had thyroid when she was younger too. Wow. So
now 8 years has passed. Do you guys still use Craigslist for...
No.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because 8 years ago, the Dutch Bros in Arizona, it wasn't like it is today by any means. Maybe there was not so much brand recognition. It was a big city, you know, and so there's been a ton of work that's gone into it, and you've been a part of that work. You called in on this Craigslist, and how'd that go?
It was funny. I didn't even, I hadn't interviewed for a job in forever, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, what do I wear? I don't know. So I show up, I'm wearing a freaking tie and I had a white collared shirt on.
Yeah.
And I tucked in my shirt to my pants and I wore a belt.
Fancy.
And then they're like, oh, meet us in the bowling alley. And I'm like, bowling alley? Like, okay. So we go into the bowling alley and I'm looking for, it's like, hey, look for the two tallest guys in the bowling alley lounge, right? And so I meet Caleb Berkey and Dave, who we used to work for us.
Uh-huh.
And I sit down and they're like, oh, you look really nice. And I was like, oh, thanks, which is funny because that's your first impression. Like, you don't really think that, right? And I wore long sleeves because I was afraid that my tattoos might deter me.
You have tattoos all up and down. I mean, for people that are listening, you got them up and down your arms. You got them on your legs. I've seen them.
Yeah. Leg tattoos as well.
You're just a tatted up fella. So you were nervous to show them your tats.
Yeah, and then that's like one of the first things I asked was to see the tattoos because they could see them through the white shirt, which...
Right,
on my part, wasn't smart, but
navy blue shirt. This time.
I thought the interview went well, but the questioning was different than what I'd ever been asked. It's like, do you like people? You know, do you want to be around people? Do you like fast paced environments? I was like, yeah, all that stuff's great.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
And then I waited to hear back, and I didn't hear back, so I called Caleb, and he's like, oh yeah, we forgot to call you.
Yeah.
You're hired.
we forgot to tell you
to
that
his
you
credit,
got the job, bro.
He had emailed me and
oh,
I just
did?
Hadn't checked. Caleb Berkey is our West Valley neighbor franchising. He was my manager and mentor forever.
He used to be a lot stronger too.
Well,
you know, he's just a skinny guy now.
He's gonna get the dad muscles with the new baby.
Yeah, though. That happens. It happens when you have kids. And then this is a good note for Mark because he's got a little one on the way too. It's just that dad strength, that old man strength. Mm-hmm. It comes. Once you have kids, old man strength kicks in. Pretty soon you're just like a freaking muscle man.
So I'll have strength for the first time ever in my life.
Possibly. There's a good chance.
She's due in April.
Yeah. Dude, April babies are
really
great babies.
Yeah. I'm looking at a couple
of good looking babies too.
Yeah.
Intelligent, super bright, super smart, super handsome or pretty.
They grow great facial hair.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
Now we're in trouble.
Well, your daughter won't grow facial hair, but it might enhance your facial hair.
Let's hope.
But you grow a pretty good beard. So you get the job. How was training back then? It's a little different nowadays.
It's so funny because like all the training and stuff was set up via email, which is not how we do things now, that's for sure. But I talked directly with Caleb and then we trained in like this commercial building. They had like a little four group set up for us. And I'll just tell you, my first day of training, I showed up and Caleb is drinking a white can sugar-free Rockstar with a pink straw.
Oh, that's big. So I don't think he's changed.
My real first impression of Caleb Berkey is... Oh, this guy uses a pink straw? And of course, now I use a pink straw. But like that, you know, knowing what I know now from then, it's different.
The straw code.
The straw code, dude. But we took that. It was like 2 or 3 days. And I'll tell you, I almost lost my job in training.
Really?
Yeah, I have to be transparent. I thought it was easy. I was like, this is so easy. I don't need to study. And then all of a sudden, the question was, well, hey, Josh, what's in a caramelizer? I was like, yeah, caramel. And they're like, well, how much caramel? I was like, the amount that it says in the handbook, and they're like, what does it say? And I was like, I don't know. And they're like, well, what else? And I was like, coffee? And they're like, what kind of coffee? I was like, well, it's our coffee. And they're like, yeah, but like, is it espresso? Yeah. Is it brewed? I couldn't answer.
Wow.
And so Dave was like, hey, if you don't know this stuff in 24 hours, like, we're not going to have you.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So I went home and I made 1,000 flashcards, and then the next day I aced it. And it was really funny because that was my wake-up call. I was like, this is actually something I need to commit to if I'm going to do
it. It's fun, but it's also like it's real.
Yeah. From there, Caleb worked shifts with me at Dutch Rose ASU, which is really special because that's our OG stand. Like that was the only stand that was in Arizona. And just hearing stories about it and how it opened was cool. Caleb was the said manager of OG Bell, but then I got to work with a really cool girl, Heidi, and then Clark, who was there. It was really old school people who like kind of started the roots of Arizona.
Yeah.
If anybody's interested or didn't know, you know, when ASU was delayed a lot from what I hear. And so they were supposed to open in 06, I believe, but then they pushed it to 07.
Yeah.
And Caleb had moved down to help Jim, our franchisee, open the store.
Moved down from Medford.
And Jim paid Caleb's bills for almost a year because the store wasn't open and he felt bad for having Caleb move down. So it's just a cool story. Like that's the stuff I remember hearing when I first got there. I was like, wow, this company's about more
than
just
care about each other.
Coffee.
You started working shifts with Caleb, kind of got the training under you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just go right into night shifts?
I worked a lot of afternoons and evenings in training. And then when we opened the store, I worked a lot of nights because back then we were worried about the safety of the stand and we didn't want girls closing
by
themselves.
The dude with the tattoos on.
Exactly. And it was cool. I remember when we opened, Kyle Garrett was one of our trainers.
Uh-huh.
And like I had like my Subi and Kyle was like, oh, I love your car. And I was like, dude, drive it. Comparatively, like opening parties today. our opening party for OG Bell had like 17 people at it.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah. And now we have like these, like that's 200, crazy. Right?
Right.
I think about 200 or anything like Randall's openings. You got like 400 or 500 people that show up.
That's nuts.
But I worked nights for like 6-7 months. Yeah. And then I also worked a second job at the Buckle.
Oh, yeah.
And I valeted a little bit.
Nice.
Which was cool. And Dutch Bros afforded me the opportunity to venture elsewhere and to try to find my passion.
Yeah.
I thought about being a police officer for a while.
Yeah.
My Marine buddies are in San Jose, and three of them are full-time police officers, and we're going to totally get me on.
One of your Marine buddies is from Grants Pass, right?
Yeah. Dan Feller. Yeah. Yeah, he's a sheriff here.
He was actually in my youth group years ago.
Yeah.
And see him, and I remember he got a job in Arizona. I'm like, what? Like, he's working at Dutch Bros? Because he worked over at Dutch Bros out here. He was a stalker for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw a picture of him. I'm like, whoa, he's like a man now. Like, he's like buff. Because when he was in the youth group, he was like, hi, I'm Dan. You know, whatever.
He was super nerdy.
Hey.
He was super nerdy, dude. He was like that in the Marines. We called him, we called him CBD because he didn't like to wake up early.
Yeah.
And it was like Crybaby Dan. He's amazing.
Hey, Dan. We're glad you grew up finally.
Love you. Love your car collection.
Being in the Marine Star, I've never ventured into any of that, but you develop probably, I'm sure, really tight relationships with a lot of people there.
Mm-hmm.
How was that translating that over into the Dutch world?
It was so hard.
I bet.
Today, I still think about how I wish I could have had perspective.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Now I get it. It's like the freedom that we allow people to have. And there are standards and codes and stuff, but like we're just allow people to be. And I think that's what I had to learn.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Dutch Bros helped me. It was good for me to go there because I was struggling with my mom being sick. And like, it's just a weird time for me, honestly.
Big time.
It showed me the way.
Yeah.
It's like, it was like a light on the path I knew was there, but I couldn't get there by myself.
Yeah. It's been a privilege to get to kind of be alongside you and get to watch you change and evolve. Because I remember you coming in, like my first kind of experiences with you was like, dang, dude, that dude is like he's like a drill sergeant. He's like, dude, like that guy's intimidating, you know, like he's like, and you know, but the more you get to know you, it's like, this guy actually is like teddy bear. You're a crier like me. I'm a crier too. Well, sometimes depends. I get sad sometimes. Or sometimes just cry out of joy. That's how it is. But so now, you know, translating that into you work in the stands. You talked about having the freedom to kind of go pursue and see. When did it click that I was like, I'm not going to pursue anything else?
I have to bring up Caleb again because he was the guy I talked to throughout this whole process of like what I was going to do. Opportunity is like a big word that he used to say to me all the time. He's like, just don't ever sacrifice an opportunity for something that you think is there. He's like, if there's an opportunity, make sure you see it through and use it. And so when I was 6 months in, I was like, Caleb, I'm really thinking about San Jose. And Caleb's like, well, the new store is going to open, which is Camelback. He's like, and they're going to need some leadership there. Like, have you thought about being an assistant manager? And I was like, no. And he's like, I think you should. I think you could really excel here and do that. I was like, yeah, but I could have like a job now that I want to do and I could be happy. And I just wasn't really seeing from the perspective of what Caleb knew.
Right.
Because Caleb had worked for Dutch Bros, gosh, I think for 3 years or something like that before I met him.
Mm-hmm.
So he had perspective too on like what it could be like. And he had this goal of franchising, which he always talked about, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it just took me a while to come around. And then once Caleb and I had enough conversations, I was like, okay, I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
And Caleb and I had worked together on a lot of events and stuff. Like we did some charity fundraisers and we brought coffee to different things and just little things to get the business going that Jim had found for us to do. I just remember always wanting to raise my hand to help out after that. What can I be doing to help? Like they're like, hey, we need to go put flyers on the doors in the apartment complex. Right. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. I got it.
First person, let's do it. And like, or what are some ideas that we have? And we would share our ideas and talk about it at meetings. And
were you guys roommates? Is that right? Am I right?
Yeah, that's later on down the road. Yeah. We were roommates for 5 years.
So did you get the assistant job, I'm guessing?
I did after a lot of heartache.
What kind of heartache?
It's the same thing every Dutch Bros Broista goes through. I interviewed against three other really qualified people. And one of the girls was chosen.
Yeah.
And I just got bummed. I was like, man, he like convinced me to stay and I thought it was a sure thing and it wasn't. He didn't guarantee that, right?
Right.
And I just like was like ultimate like letdown. And then something changed or something happened in the process of when the store is going to open. And they decided to take the girl that was going to work for Caleb and move her over to Bell, which is where Caleb was managing.
Yeah.
Which opened up the spot again. And then they decided to put me in there.
Yeah.
So I got to go work with Caleb at Camelback, which was like super special.
Yeah.
And that was in like May of 2009.
Yeah.
That I did that. And that was like 8 months into my career here at Dutch Bros.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Crazy awesome. Times. I just remember, and like for anybody out there who's ever gone through an interview, like I was like low. I took it way too personal. I think totally, that's the best way to put it. And I didn't really hear the feedback at first. And then when they gave me the feedback, it's along the lines of what you said. You're like, hey, you're like a drill instructor. And like, that's kind of the feedback mm-hmm. I got.
Yeah.
Caleb told Jim, he was like, I'm going to turn Josh into a teddy bear. That was like what Caleb told Jim about me. And he later told me that. And he kind of did.
Caleb's pretty good at what he does. He's
really good.
He's a hero.
So
it is a hard thing to do when you go for something and you're confident that you're mm-hmm. going to do well in it. And then it doesn't happen. It's easy to not receive any kind of feedback. Or, you know, it's easy to take it as criticism and being like, well, no, you know, it's easy to turn everyone else off. Because it hurts, mm-hmm. you know. But usually, like, those moments of pain are the things that kind of cause the most honest reflection and then hopefully can launch you into actually making changes that are beneficial.
Yeah.
And what's radical, man, is that you had Caleb in there who was kind of just coming alongside you to really kind of pour into you and be a guide and a peer, you know, which is awesome.
And he was great at it. He was such an encouraging friend, like always. He still is today.
Yeah, he's a great dude. Mm-hmm. So now you're your assistant. How long did you do that there at Camelback?
Well, it was just over a year in that I went back over to Bell as the manager. Another out of the blue situation, which was like, we're just growing so fast and we needed people and we kept shuffling leaders around to fit good places and put them in the right place. And that was where they felt I could serve best. And so I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
You went with Caleb mm-hmm. under his wing, kind of as his assistant manager, then to come out from under his shadow in managing. What was that like?
It was really difficult. I think a lot of times, and even now, it's easy to be like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
And then you go do it and you're like, I can't do that.
This is harder than I thought.
Yeah. I didn't really realize how much Caleb had protected me from some of the conflict that would come.
Right.
And I thanked him for protecting me. And then I also was like, hey, the next assistant you have, you should teach them about that conflict as they get into it so that they're ready. Because if there was one thing I wish you could have done, that would be it.
Not protect me so much.
It was cool because right away we had like somebody who unfortunately like wasn't killer and we poured into him really hard and they turned it around. So I got to deal with like right away a situation where somebody needed help and we got to help them.
Yeah.
And I just asked for how to coach and we saved somebody's job as a barista with us, which was cool.
Yeah, it's great.
And they continued to work for us up until last year until they moved on to do something great. So it was really cool to see that person transition and change.
The best. How long did you manage Bell for then?
So Bell Road was 2010 through almost 2011. It's like just over a year. I think it was just over a year that I was there.
Yeah.
And then McQueen and Guadalupe opened and I went out to Gilbert and managed that location.
Yeah.
For a year and a half. And then I, in 2012, transitioned to regional.
Just to give some perspective right now, how many locations do you oversee?
We have 15 stores and number 16 opens next month.
And how many employees?
We're creeping up on 600 people.
This whole span of things is going from really ASU to
your 16th shop and your 600th employee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's special. Well, the thing that's nice is it's been a natural kind of growth for you. Uh-huh. You've gotten to grow with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you just got thrown into the fire and going like, good luck. When did you step out of management and kind of?
It was May of 2012. And I remember because Kevin Murphy was in town hanging out and showing us some stuff that they're doing up in Portland, which is way cool, way futuristic for us, like running and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And we had no idea. Another situation where there had been a conversation about it. And then I got to interview while Kevin was there. And I got told I had the job the week he was there. And then we kind of celebrated. And it was just crazy. Yeah, like,
great.
Unexpected change. It was really an honor to be asked to do that. And then the question was like, well, what do I do as a regional?
Yeah,
what do I
do? Let's figure this out.
So we started asking lots of questions of different franchisees. And really weird. I was Caleb's regional. I was Caleb's boss.
Yeah, that's weird.
I didn't hear that part of the story.
It's a very small blip in the history. He gave a lot of good feedback, and he helped us grow. I think, in that time.
It was in transition of him opening his stand.
Yeah,
so it was like, I'm not going to step up into any higher role when I'm going to have to just step away in the next couple months or in the year, you know? So you've been a regional for 5 years almost. Oh, I mean, 4.5
years. Yeah, this would be 4.5 years.
And like you said, you know, like, what does that mean? What do I do? One of the things I just kind of want to highlight a little bit is that you reached out a ton to different people to say, like, oh, how do you guys do this? How do you do it? You guys do things like what you're doing right now. Come into HQ with a group, to just learn and to ask questions and to see and get exposure and also get, you know, information. And you guys would do that all the time, going to Portland, going to Idaho, going to Washington, you know, and then having people come out to you guys too and hosting. It's something that has been really cool to see, and also learning from you guys and how you guys have been doing that and stuff. Part of me believes you probably gained a lot of that stuff from your experience with the Marines. Okay, well, look, we need something to do. We need to do something. So what do we do? How do we do it? Where do I go? Let's ask questions and figure it out. You know, that kind of shortcut. A lot of people, it takes pain for them to learn.
Yeah.
You know, and some people, it's like, well, like, where's the pain that you experience? I want to avoid that.
Yeah. That's a huge part of this whole story and this whole growth process is we heard stories.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that we were emulating and doing the best we could.
Yeah.
The very best. And Tony Robbins said it masterfully. You stand on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah.
And so, like, a lot of the stuff that we're doing in Arizona is just afforded to us because there were so many gracious franchise owners and managers and regionals, and then Broistas too, that hosted us. The Randalls are two people who I really respect a lot, and yeah, I want to be like them. The Resners are two people who I just really like. Aaron especially is somebody who I notice has a really keen mind and a knack for business, and Chris is like such a cool father figure.
Yeah.
And I'm learning to be a dad myself with Charlie, totally, which is cool to see both Andrew and Chris, how they interact with their children. And but then like Kevin Murphy too was a guy who just, I mean, we went and saw Swedish House Mafia's like one last tour together, yeah, in Chicago. And it's just cause, I mean, it's just,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's,
we connected. Developed a friendship with people.
Yeah. And then the Nelsons, we went out and visited with them and just to, yeah, check them out and say hi. And that was really cool. Jimmy Crocker has been a person that's definitely helped me out on my journey. Yeah. And Cody as well.
Yeah.
Mr. King, it's amazing guy. Jonah, your bro.
Oh, geez.
And he's been a really cool person to connect with and learn from. Shane, and he comes down to Arizona, which is cool. I'll get a text once in a while.
Yeah.
I can't leave out Brent and Genesis.
Yeah.
From Fresno. They've been incredible. They actually let us come up and work in their food truck, which was cool. And Kevin Harper and I learned a lot from that, which was just amazing. It was so fun. All these folks are people who have, they've been here and done that longer than I have. And
yeah,
all I can do is ask and like you said, the pain thing, like once I start to feel pain, I don't really want to go through it anymore. So I, yeah, want to find a solution. And,
yeah,
and like the DISC test labeled me as a high D, high I person. So I'm quick to make a decision, yep, to end the pain, but I have to remember to make sure the details are present as well.
Yeah.
'Cause it affects more than just me. It's everyone.
I think that's part of like the culture at DB is we walk this line of just the decisions on just doing business as a whole. It's like, well, normal businesses do it like this, but we don't want to be normal. We don't want to, you know.
Mm-mm.
So being regional now, I mean, how many regionals do you guys have now, Chris?
We have 6 regional managers. So, and then I like oversee our regional, yeah, crew. Yeah.
So when you were just the solo, were you the solo regional?
Yeah, it was me, and then there's Dave as well.
Yeah.
But I did most of like the in-stand operations.
And so then, I mean, when did it come to a point where it was like, there's a lot of you guys out there?
So Corey Nimmer, who's a Vegas franchisee,
yeah,
he had a big heart for growth too. And he noticed right away, he's like, you need help. Like,
yeah,
he was the one who always said that to me. And I was like, yes, I do. And he's like, talk to Jim. Let's get this going. I was like, yeah, okay. So Corey and I then set up this team where him and I attacked things together and we promoted him to regional.
Yeah.
And then his wife, Kelly, who's there as well in Vegas, yeah, and she's amazing. She came up to be a manager and helped us because she had a lot of conversations with, yeah, him, and we would share things together and then became the two of us. When I first started as regional, though, I believe we had 9 locations.
That's a lot of people right there.
And it was just for one too guy. Many.
Yeah.
And then Corey was, I think just under a year later, we had him help. And then, yeah, from there, we decided to hire more by a location specific thing. So we would, every 3 stores, we wanted to have a regional. Yeah. We started to hire up as quick as we could without, yeah, sacrificing the quality of leadership. And,
yeah,
the reason we came to 6 now is because we are opening the next stand next month.
Yeah.
But we're prepping for the next stand after that to open. So, right, I just figured the more, the,
yeah,
better.
Just growth. Yeah. Being prepared is better than being caught off guard.
Yeah.
How many actually leadership positions do you guys, would you consider that you guys have in Arizona right now?
So without being exact, it's probably 120 to 130 leadership positions are, yeah, active in our franchise. And that includes in-stand operations and then headquarters, yeah, / warehouse. Shift leaders are like kind, mm-hmm, of entry level, and they share responsibility of ordering and scheduling and making sure the store is running tight. But their huge focus is that the vibe of the shifts go really well.
Yeah.
And then we've got in-stand trainers, and they travel throughout the different regions and train our new hires. Attached to the training team are three incredible leaders who are the managers of all the trainers, and they set up schedules and everything, and they do the training, forecasting, and shadowing. And then we've got our maintenance team. We have five guys that are on our maintenance squad, and they work in the stand a couple shifts a week, and then they run maintenance calls for us and do preventive maintenance checks. And then they have a leader as well who helps run calls and keeps things organized in our office. Then we have our human resources department, which is two. It's going to go to three. We have our communications department, which is one, but going to go to two. We have our personal growth and development department, which is two folks. And then we have our social media department, which is two, going to grow to three.
Yeah.
And then from there, there's assistant managers, which obviously most know that role, but they're like the weekend warrior. They slay Saturdays and Sundays for those managers. Then we have our managers. I see them just like franchisees. I mean, they're running really busy locations, and most of our stores average, you know, 30 to 40 employees now. So like they're
That's a lot.
Overseeing a lot of folks. And then our six regionals are there, and then I'm in support of them. And then there's Jim, our guy. He carries the sword and the shield for us, just like Trav does for the company. So it's really cool.
Tell me about, within the last couple of years, there really has been a big boom over in Arizona of like just growth in the stand. Just getting busy and those like shifts coming now a stand which used to have 17 employees or even less, you know.
I remember eight people at
the first time. So now you go from 8 to 40.
Yeah.
The post undercover boss days, you know, and it's like all of a sudden it's like, whoa, is that when all those kind of positions just kind of started popping and making more sense and stuff?
Shift leads for us is between 18 and 24 months old. So it's almost 2 years. It's still like a newborn to us. It's very fresh. But undercover boss, I mean, just speaking to that, that was where we saw a lot of traction.
Yeah.
And a lot of things come out of that, which is where we started talking about like leadership and being in front of people more and being visible. We used undercover boss actually as part of our interview process, and we still do today. We ask that our folks watch it just to get an idea of what they're applying for and who they're going to work for. And then the leadership positions came by discovering Entree Leadership and Dave Ramsey and Ken Blanchard and a lot of the books that, I mean, you guys had put out a lot of stuff. And I remember reading The Slight Edge.
Oh, Slight Edge, yeah.
The Slight Edge really, for me, was one of the books that ignited my leadership thought. And then I read a book, People Follow You by Jeb Blunt. That's just a book that I used on my journey. And we just started talking about, well, hey, how many people should we have per leader?
Right, yeah.
One of the things we came up with was, well, if you're managing full-time people, it should be a 1 in 5 to 1 in maybe 7 ratio.
Yeah.
And if you're doing some part-time folks like what we have, it can be up to 1 in 10.
Yeah.
And so we try to have a leader out there for every 10 people in the company.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily going to happen in every situation.
Right.
But it creates a bigger layer for our crew to depend on.
Yeah.
And so then we almost have like a leader that works every shift. And that's some of the cool stuff we do too. Like we don't just have like set schedules for our leaders. Like they'll float from AM to mid to PM to grave.
Right.
And they'll work all over the place, and they work. Sometimes they do like a half shift where they'll go check for like 3 hours what's going on and see the crew. And we ask that everybody works a variety of schedule if they're on leadership so they can see all aspects of the day and coach the crew at all times.
I can only imagine that it probably helps with just the intimacy that you have with your employees now. Not necessarily you on a level, but now you can talk to the leaders that have been pouring into their, you know, coworkers and stuff like that. One of our focuses as a company is just the compelling future of our broistas, of our people, of our family, and not specifically internally. You know, it's like we have, you talked about, you know, one of your coworker that ended up had worked for years and just got to, you got to see her change and grow and now move on to something greater. And that's like the dream, you know.
Actually, I think he was talking about Dino.
Oh. we could tell that story. That's a really cool story too.
What's tell me Dino's story?
Man, Dino Jaga, as Hunter would say, he asked a lot about, hey, can I do video? Hey, can I do something? Yeah. I just love like the raised hand mentality.
Right.
Like,
willingness.
Like,
man.
Can I do something? So then like we had seen like some other franchises do some videos, and I was like, man, this would be a cool opportunity for Dino just to like show his stuff. So he made this incredible Dutch Bros Arizona video that we shared at our Christmas party last year, and did some filming for some of our crew in particular. And like, I remember seeing his attention to detail and his eye for it. And, you know, we don't really have a capacity for video right now.
Yeah.
But we saw a job posting come out, and I think more people than me, like so many people text them like, yeah, hey, you should go for this. And then I forget who I reached out to, but I called somebody on your guys' team and I was like, hey, like this guy's legit. Yeah. And they're like, okay. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, Dino's hired. And yeah. I was like, what? And it was just, that was cool for yeah. me. Like,
my thing was, I'm like, with a name like that, you kind of have to hire him. I don't even know if he knows how to edit or anything. I don't even care. His name's Oliver yeah. Dino Jagger III.
The third.
Bring him in.
Yeah. We contracted him to shoot.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
Sam Sanchez's grand opening uh-huh. Flagstaff.
Yeah. That's right.
And it was like, dude, this video's pretty good. So and then it's like, oh, let's shoot basketball. And then he was just kept saying, like, sup, dude? Come on, dude. Let's make it, dude. Your shot sucks, dude. And we're like, well, he's kind of weird, but, you know, we're weird. So we'll hire him.
It worked out. Great. Sorry, Dino. You haven't arrived, bro. You still got a lot of way to go. It's cool to see people be able to figure out what they're really digging and kind of like help them kind of see it. Hey, let's go expose yourself to it mm-hmm. and see if you really like it. You know, we've done Coachapalooza for years now. And a couple of years ago, you guys started doing this thing called Culturepalooza.
Yeah.
Which is kind of really, in a nutshell, was just kind of a mini Coachapalooza mm-hmm. Specific to your area and stuff. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. Same vein as what you guys do here, which is executed masterfully. Like, it's so fun to come up here and do that. And I was like, man, we can't bring our masks
yeah.
to Grants Pass. We just don't have,
to get everybody
we don't have the capacity to do that, to travel with everyone. And so Corey and I and Connor, who I miss a lot, we worked on this idea for like quite a while. And I was like, okay, let's execute it. You guys helped us design really cool like booklets with our cactus guy on uh-huh. them. And we created content, and everybody had a topic, and we did it 2 years in a row. We unfortunately missed it this last year, but we're bringing it back this year.
Yeah.
Bigger and better.
Bam.
And the we're year talking of about it.
2017.
Yep, the year of the rooster. I think it sparked something different in our crew to where they had another outlet and they had another way to look at what we do.
Yeah.
You know, as more than just I'm at the window making baller coffees for people who I love to see every day. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, I have a responsibility to myself as well to grow myself yeah. and to pour into my
be
cup.
More. Yeah.
So I can do more for others and be able to serve more aggressively yeah. and serve better. Corey did the freaking coolest goal setting thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, we picked out tracks. We did it. We tried to really mirror what you guys did.
Yeah.
I remember he was like, get the Sigur Rós song. Get this song. I was like, yeah. cool. And he was just the most intense I've ever seen him. And and like forever, it was like Corey's goal setting class was talked about. And that was 2 years ago almost now. But it yeah. was cool because we wanted to emulate what you guys are doing and bring it yeah. home. And the reason we're going to bring it back this year is because my goal is just to have someone's parents be like, yeah, my kid worked at Dutch Bros and
yeah.
they learned life skills yeah. and that was cool. And that's yeah. what I want them to do.
Well, and it's not like you guys aren't getting any bigger. It's not like you guys aren't growing. It's a trip to me how a lot of people have never just really dreamed. So to get to expose them to that and get to like mm-hmm. even kind of guide and facilitate, man, what a cool thing. And as it's growing, the more the merrier. Well, I know we're kind of running out of time here, so I would love to hear what kind of advice would you give to a broista out there? I just got a job at DB. I'm 19. I'm slinging bean every night, and it's fun.
I'd say if you ever let fear creep into your thoughts about anything, try to realize that fear is not really what it appears to be. It's going to hold you back. The thing about what we do is it doesn't really change every day.
Yeah.
Like, really what you're going to do, whether you're a leader or you're a broista, is you're going to serve people and you get to like meet people that you're going to interact with for a long time. And fear to me shows itself when things are the toughest. And it's when you don't know the outcome that you tend to want to like freeze up. Mm-hmm. But I think if you just learn to run at the unknown full speed, the unknown turns out to be an optical illusion. Mm-hmm. And really things are better than they could have been.
Well, before we go, I do got to ask you to talk a little bit about one of your side passions, which is
okay.
Yeah. You're DJing, man.
Cool.
How did that come about? And are you still doing it?
Yeah.
You still DJing?
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine that'll probably never go away. It's kind of just a hobby.
It is really. It's a hobby. It's started in my living room in 2012. I had seen Swedish House Mafia and a bunch of the guys that I really thought were really cool and wanted to emulate their style. And then I learned about open format DJing, which is kind of what I do now. It's you mix everything together. And dude, I just think it's so cool. Like, music hits us all in so many different ways
yeah.
and it's impactful. And for me, I just really like how it sounds. I love
yeah.
love how like some of the drops sound in the newer like electronic stuff, but I also love old hip hop. And, yeah. I love like you throw on some Tribe Called Quest or something like that, I can get down. Oh. But DJing for me is something that's become really special because you have to learn it. It's really hard to do, but it's like a talent that I think teaches you patience and it teaches you to try again. Like in DJing, you can make a mistake and you can like use your effects to cover it up.
Yeah.
And most people are like, oh, that sounds cool. When in the back of your mind, you're like, no, I jacked that up, but thanks. One cool thing that it's done for me is I've done a lot of Dutch Bros events, but also like weddings, like Dutchy weddings.
Yeah.
And that's been really special to help people with their special day.
To be able to be it. Yeah. Just another avenue of getting to be a part of someone's life is pretty cool.
It's cool to serve that way.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's awesome.
So
thanks for hanging out with us, Josh. We really appreciate
this. This was fun. Thanks, man. Great, this is cool.
Well, I guess the last question.
Oh,
what's next for Josh Hayes?
Well, we're gonna make this week as awesome as possible with how much time that we have, and we're gonna learn, and then we're gonna do some goal setting when we get back. But what's next is for life, personal. So I'm getting married in October.
Woo! Yeah, baby.
Shayna, my very special woman, my fiance. She's amazing, dude. If you guys don't know the story, which I don't know if you do. I made her climb all the way to the top of Devil's Bridge with me last May. And I had been messing with her, like telling her that I was going to get her a car, like because she was really wanting a 4Runner. And I was just joking around. And so we get to the top of Devil's Bridge and get out onto the bridge. And I had like snuck the ring into my pocket. And I was like trying to hide it the whole day. And I don't know how she didn't know I had it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, go out there with me. Like, let's go out. And she's like, why? And I'm like, just go out. And so we go out there. And I get down on one knee because she's walking in front of me. And I'm like, hey, babe, remember that 4Runner I told you about? And she's like, why? And she turns around and I'm just like, tsh, and I have the ring out. And she's like, oh, my God. I was like, will you marry me? I didn't get you a 4Runner. And she like instantly cried. And then what was cool is we had Jim and Sarah, Adam, Kevin, Shelby, Toby, and Tyler. They'd all hiked up and were waiting.
Yeah.
And they took photos and were waiting for us at the top.
That's
and so
awesome.
She had no idea that they were up there. And then we got an incredible photo from a dude who just happened to be up there. So marrying my best friend and my life partner. And
bam, massive.
And learning how to be a dad more.
Yeah.
Better this year. That's what's next. It's just being a better dad and getting to be a husband. I'm really excited.
Yeah, man. What a cool experience. I'm excited for you.
Thanks, man.
All right, Dutch Nation. Josh Hayes, Dutch Bros Arizona, just killing it.
And, thank you.
Helping out with such a beautiful culture out there.